Well, I am so glad to see you this morning. I just have got so many good things to tell you. We talked about our reach out offering goal just a minute ago, and the Lord has just been doing some exciting things in our church. And so today I want to just share with you a little bit from my heart about the vision of the Edge Church and where we're going in the future, and just some more developments that have been going on as the Lord has just been blessing our ministry so much. Last week, after the service, a family that had been here only, I think, two or three times said, "Pastor Ryan, would you talk to our daughter about getting baptized?" And I said, "Sure." So we talked for a few minutes, and this sixth grade girl was really excited about the Lord, but she had never really made a faith commitment. And we talked a little bit about what that meant, and she wanted to pray and commit her life to the Lord. We were just right back here, right after the service. And we had a great discussion, and I looked over at the dad, and he was totally engaged in the conversation. I mean, he was excited, but he wasn't saying anything. And so I looked over at the dad, and I said, "Dad, would you like to give your heart to the Lord as well?" And he goes, "Yeah, is there like an age limit on that, you know?" And I was like, "No, there's no age limit. The grace of God, it covers the age thing, no problem." He said, "I really would, Pastor Ryan." So we prayed together, and just right after the service, last Sunday, right back over here, this family committed their lives to the Lord. Isn't that great? That's just good to know. So they're going to be baptized together very soon. And also, in the month of January, we had at least four people commit their lives to the Lord. We had a local businessman that I met eating at a restaurant, and just invited him, passed out one of our little cards that we're going to be giving you as you leave today, and just said, "Hey, come see us sometime. Yeah, you're at the church. We'll come visit a service." He came. After three or four visits, the Lord was just working in his heart, and we ate breakfast together. We were over at the Village Inn a couple of weeks ago eating breakfast at Southlands Mall, and he committed his life to the Lord, and he's excited. His family's coming. They're not here this weekend. They're out of town, but they're here every other weekend. And that kind of thing just seems to be happening over and over and over again. And guys, that's really when the local church gets exciting. I mean, that's what the Edge Church is really all about. It's about showing the life-changing grace of Jesus Christ. That's our mission statement at the Edge Church. And so everywhere we go and everything that we do here at the Edge is really about extending the grace of God in such a way that people's lives can be transformed. I remember one of my most committed church members at our last church start that we had in the Dallas area was a guy named Bill. And Bill showed up to our church the very first Sunday that we had a service. He received a postcard. And he showed up at church. He was very skeptical. In fact, he called himself an agnostic. And he came to the church, and the Lord just spoke to him in an unusual way. The guy committed his life to the Lord the very first Sunday. Now, that's kind of radical, man, to go from an agnostic to a Christian, you know. But God was working in his life. And he became one of the most committed members of our church, serving in our children's area, becoming a Bible study leader for our kids, and in a whole host of other areas as well, became one of our most committed people. What happened? His life was changed. You know, not only did Bill give his heart to the Lord, several months later, his wife did the same thing. And then several months after that, his daughter did. And then his little boy did. His son did. And the Lord just changed this whole family in such a wonderful and powerful way. And that's the kind of things that God is starting to do here. We're still early. We're only 5 months into this thing. We're still like a little baby church. But the Lord is changing hearts. He is restoring marriages. He is giving people hope that feel like that they don't have any hope. He's giving people faith that they've never had before. And so that's why we want to talk about the ultimate edge. Because see, the ultimate edge is what we as a church are all about. The ultimate edge is the church that God has given us, the vision that God has given us, the direction that we're moving. And so I want to just share with you a little bit from my heart today about some things that the Lord has just kind of been speaking to me about, and the direction that we're moving. Many of you know, if you've been here, if you're new, you don't know this, but I spent 100 hours in prayer before our grand opening service last September. And the reason I wanted to do that, and I'd never prayed about something that big before, but I wanted to do that because I just wanted to be certain of the strategic vision that God had given us. I thought that I knew the things that we would be doing, but I just really wanted to connect with God about it. And let me tell you something. If you pray for something for 100 hours, you do begin to hear from the Lord on something, okay? And it was an awesome experience for me. And in that time, the Lord began to give me more clarity and more specific vision for the beginning of the Edge Church. And so much so that I started another 100 hours of prayer this last Monday. And it'll take me a little while to get through that. But you know, it's exciting to spend time alone with God and just to hear what He has to say. And so I've really been spending more time with God because I just want to make sure that I'm leading our church and directing us in the way that we need to be going and what God's saying to us. So what I'm sharing with you is coming out of that time alone with the Lord, because God has a kingdom agenda for the Edge Church, and it begins by adding people. In fact, we're going to be looking at God's kingdom math today. This is how God's equation of mathematics, okay? God wants us to add people. Adding people to the church is what the Scripture teaches. It's a biblical concept. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized, and they were what? They were added to the church, about 3,000 in all. Now, this was after the day of Pentecost. Could you imagine if 3,000 people showed up at our church next Sunday? You know, we would be in trouble, wouldn't we? I mean, we would have to have like 25 services, you know, standing room only. I don't know. We'd have to bus people in from Southlands Mall. I mean, it would be insane. It would be crazy. In the New Testament, that's what happened. That's kind of how the church got kicked off. Here's 3,000 people. And the Bible says that's a good thing. And we want to be like that first century church. The book of Acts describes the beginning of the church right after the resurrection and the ascension of Jesus. The apostles began taking the message of the gospel to the world, and they began to expand. But it all began there at the day of Pentecost, and 3,000 people committed their lives to the Lord. That must have been an amazing sight to see all that. And then in Acts 2:47 it says, "And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." In other words, every single day, more and more people were coming to faith. Not just on Sunday, not just on Easter, not just on Christmas Eve, but every day people were making that faith commitment, and people were being added to what God was doing. And so at the Edge Church, we are about adding to the kingdom of God. And you know, growth is a natural thing. I mean, if you had a 3-year-old little boy, and that 3-year-old little boy was the size of an 18-month-old baby, every parent would be a little concerned, right? You'd be feeding him extra vegetables and extra Wheaties and whatever else you could do to get him to grow. And you know, in the church, our church is 5 months old. I mean, we're still just a little baby. Now, we're kind of a big baby, okay? But we're still a little baby, and so we still have to be, you know, fed, and we have to have our diapers changed, and we're still, trying to figure out how to crawl and all those kind of things. And we're making progress, and every single week and every single month, we make a little more progress there because we're growing. But growth is a natural outcome. That's a good thing. And just like we want to see that with children or in our business or whatever we're doing, whatever we're involved in, we want to see the church grow, and the way it grows is by addition, by more people coming to faith in the Lord. That's good. We want that. And the growth is natural. We had some friends of ours that lived down the street from us as I was growing up as a kid, and they planted an acorn tree in their backyard. I think I was like 6 or 7 years old. And I remember because I helped plant this acorn tree. And I'll tell you, I was over there my senior year in high school, and I looked out in the backyard, and you know what? That acorn tree was the same size as it was when we planted it. The church was like, I mean, the tree was 11 or 12 years old, and yet it was only like a foot tall. How weird is that? It was like a little runt tree, you know? Like a little dwarf tree or something like that. And it had all the leaves, and it didn't have any acorns, okay? And it, I guess it wasn't going to produce other little runt trees, but the thing never grew. Now, how weird is that? That's strange. Nobody would look at that tree and say, well, that's a healthy tree. You know what? Healthy churches, they grow. They reach people. They add people to God's kingdom. So that's what we're about. And I tell you, at the Edge Church, one of the ways that we grow is that we create a church that's for the whole community. You know, this church is for everybody here. And I've had people ask me, well, you know, who's your church for? Our church is for everybody. It's for people that are Christian people. It's for people that are not Christian people that are checking it out. Just like my friend Bill, the agnostic, that came to our last church. And we have people that are just beginning their faith. We have people that are growing in their faith. And we have people that really don't have any faith at all. And everybody is welcome at the Edge Church. And so when you go and you invite a friend to come, you can know that regardless of where they are spiritually, they're going to have a great experience here. They're going to enjoy the music. They're going to be inspired by the positive teaching. Their kids are going to have a great time in the children's area. They're going to be warmly greeted at the door by our greeters. And they're just going to have a great time. And so I love to be a part of a church like that, because I know when I invite people in the community, as I do every single week, when people come, I know that they enjoy being here. And I don't have to worry about them coming and not having a great time. So how great is that? So one of the greatest things we can begin to do is to invite our friends to be a part of the excitement at the Edge Church. And we're going to give you some little cards, actually, when you leave today. Well, these are called six packs, okay? And what this is six cards for you to invite friends to come to the Edge Church. And next week, we're beginning a series called God Doesn't Care. And then you flip it over on the back and it says, about your past flops, failures, and fumbles. Neither do we at the Edge Church. And so this is a little invite card for you to give out to your friends. You can take as many of these as you'd like to take with you. We've got 900 of them, so I don't think we're going to run out this morning. And then Sunday, I'm talking about getting rid of guilt. Okay? Maybe you've got a friend that God's put in your heart right now, struggling with guilt, and you need to invite him to be with you. Freedom from fear, and then finding forgiveness. So the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about this whole series, God Doesn't Care. This is a great time to invite friends to come and to be with us, because we are adding to the kingdom of God. And as our church gets bigger, then it also gets smaller. Now the Lord is adding to the attendance. More and more people are coming. But you know what? We're dividing the church up more into ministries and into home groups. Okay? So while the church is growing larger, it's also growing smaller at the same time. And that's by design, and that is a good thing, isn't it? So we begin by adding, okay? We're talking about kingdom math. Now here's the second thing. The ultimate edge is not just about addition, but it's also about multiplication. Okay, multiplication. We are multiplying worship opportunities by starting new services and new churches. Now we just heard Pastor Rich talk about starting a church in Stapleton. Our church is all about that. We want to do everything we can to help start other new churches. And as we multiply worship opportunities, more and more people will be reached. In fact, a church expert named Charles Arnn said it this way, the fastest way to reach new people is to begin new churches. So by starting new churches, you're just going to attract and you're going to reach more people. He said the second fastest way to reach more new people for the kingdom of God is to start new worship services. Okay, so in an existing church, the best thing you can do, help start another church, and then help multiply worship services. So we're going to be doing both of those. We're going to be helping start this new church in Stapleton. We're going to be adding a worship service here at the Edge Church beginning on April the 4th, which is Easter Sunday. And this is going to be an exciting step for our church as we take this bold, this courageous step to do so. On Easter, many of us know that is the greatest a church attended day of the year, and for good reason. We're going to be celebrating the resurrection of Christ. We're going to be doing a mass mail out, inviting people to be with us. We're going to be passing out door hangers. We're going to be doing all kinds of things to invite friends, evites, and all kinds of creative things leading up to Easter. Now, here's one of the really cool things that I'm excited to tell you about. We're a part of a Christian ministry that's running a series of TV ads. And the TV ads theme is Find It Here. And it's all about finding faith on Easter. And people can log into a website. I think it's findithere.com is what it is. They can log into the website and our church will be listed. And if people are looking for a church in this area and they see it on television, then they can say, oh, I'm going to go to the Edge Church for Easter. And it's great. And then we'll be passing out some information and stuff to the community about that. So all these things are going to be culminating leading up to the April the 4th date as we start this new service. Now, I know we're a little thin today. We've got a little snow on the ground and some other things going on with some football game later this afternoon. But I want you to know that our attendance has grown by like 50 to 60 people a week just in January. Okay, if you look at January versus December. And so our church was kind of rocking along, you know, like this, and all of a sudden we took a huge step in January. That's a good thing. We're excited about that. And so what we're going to do is by adding this service is we're going to help take another step forward to bring and to add more people to our church. And listen, when you add a worship service, you create more opportunities for people to hear the good news. So we want to be about doing that. As we create those new opportunities, we got more seats for people to come into. Our children's ministry right now is completely maxed out. In fact, our workers told me last week, Ryan, we don't even have any more room for the kids. What are we going to do? I said, we're going to create that second worship service. So it's all about adding and it's all about multiplying. And I love the scripture, Acts 5:14 says, more and more people, men and women, believed in the Lord and were added to their number. In other words, when more people are added to the kingdom, then we got to have more services to accommodate them, right? And then in Acts 13, as they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work that I have called them to. Then after they fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them off. So Barnabas and Saul were going to start new churches. So we're doing both of those things. We're creating new opportunities for worship. We're helping start new churches because we want to multiply the kingdom of God here in the Southlands area. Now, our church, my last church that I pastored, we were running about 200 on a Sunday, and we added a second service, and our church grew to about 400 within the next 12 months. And during that time, we saw over 100 people commit their lives to the Lord. So we want to do the same thing right here in the Southlands area. We want to continue to reach people. Now, in addition to addition and multiplication, division is a huge part of God's kingdom, okay? And division sounds like a bad word. That sounds negative. But actually, it can be a good thing because we're dividing into new ministries. Now, if you notice Acts chapter 6, it says, but as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent, and those who spoke Greek complained against those who spoke Hebrew, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. We apostles should spend our time preaching and teaching the word of God, not administering a food program, they said. Now look around among yourselves, brothers, and select 7 men who are well respected and full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, and we will put them in charge of this business. And then we can spend our time in prayer and preaching and teaching the word. God's message was preached in ever-widening circles, and the number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. So the church got saturated because there were only a few people that were trying to do all the ministry, and there was a bottleneck. And then when the apostles took a step back and empowered more people, then the church actually grew in its influence and reached more people. How about that? So what we're about at the Edge Church is we're about dividing people up into more ministries because we realize that one person or a small group of people can't do all the ministry in a church. If we had all the ministry that stemmed from my leadership, my direct leadership, we would have like 15 or 20 people in our church. Part of the reason that our church has grown so much is we've had so many people serving and so many people being involved. And so as God's adding to the kingdom and as these services are multiplied, we want to divide more people up into serving in different roles so we can continue to facilitate the ministry and to meet the needs of all the people around us. So that makes sense, right? And that's what happened back in the early church, is that the more and more people begin to serve and begin to get into ministries. Now, I believe serving is one of the greatest things, because that's how we really begin to grow spiritually. I mean, when we serve God. And some of us today have been coming to the Edge Church, and maybe you don't really have a ministry. You're not really involved. This would be a great time to begin getting involved in serving in one of the areas of the church. I know you're going to grow spiritually. You're going to be a part of helping us expand what God's doing right here. And you just get to be a part of the excitement. And so we have about 40 or 50 people that serve in our church right now. And for us to go to the next level as a church, you know, we're gonna need more and more people to be involved and to serve. And I tell you that because serving is so exciting. And in fact, I think if you were to take a little survey of many of the people in our church, they would tell you that some of their closest friends that they have made at the Edge Church have been people that they've been in the trenches with. You know, they're cutting out little shapes and construction paper things for the children's ministry, or they're here early setting up, or they're taking stuff down, or they're greeting people, or whatever it is. And that's when the church really gets to be fun and to feel like the family, is when we're serving together. So we want to divide people up into different ministries. Now, I got to share with you Matthew 9:37. It's not on your outline, but listen to this scripture. This is so good. And then this is Jesus who said, "Then he said to the disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into the harvest field.'" See, a lot of times what we do is we pray, God, let people's hearts be open to the gospel. But you know what Matthew 9:37 says is, the harvest is plentiful. There's people that want to know the gospel. There's people that want to know God. There's people that want to have faith. The problem is not that people don't want to hear. The problem is what? There's not enough workers in the field. There's too many Christians sitting around on their couches doing nothing to reach out to the world that we live in. That's the problem. And so this verse has kind of been messing with my thinking this week, you know, because I've been thinking a little differently, but I love Matthew 9:37 and 38, because it's challenging me like crazy. What we got to do to advance the mission of Jesus Christ is to get more people in the field serving and working. And when that begins to happen, then the harvest is plentiful, Jesus says. There's people ready to cross the line of faith if somebody would just invite them to church, if somebody would just reach out and serve them or just minister to them, or if there was more opportunities, more ministries created in the church, those people would commit their lives to the Lord. What we need is more workers in the field, and not just for people's hearts to be open. Okay? So Matthew 9:37 and 38. Good stuff. Love that. So we're dividing people into ministries, man. We're multiplying worship opportunities. We're planting new churches. We're starting new services. And we're adding to the kingdom of God by sharing the good news of the gospel with other people. Now, there's got to be a fourth thing. Does anybody have any idea what the fourth thing might be? Subtraction. That's right. Cassandra just said that in the back. Good job. Very smart there. Yeah. Subtract limitations. Okay. Check this out, by minimizing human perspectives. Now, a lot of times the way that we think and the way God thinks is not the same. So we've got to get rid of some of the limiting thought patterns in our mind. There is no limit on what God wants to do at the Edge Church. Just think about that for a minute. I mean, there's no limit. There's no end to the lives that God wants to change right here. There's no end to it. God wants to do way more than what we can even think of, probably what we can even fathom. So we need to subtract limitations. Now, in 2 Corinthians 9, the scripture says, "But remember this, if you give little, you will get little. A farmer who plants just a few seeds will get only a small crop, but if he plants much, he will reap much." It's the law of sowing and reaping. So if we want to just lead a few people to the Lord, we only want to see a few marriages saved, we only want to see a few people find hope and to find deliverance from substance abuse and addictions, if we want to just have a small impact, let's keep everything the same. Let's sow a little bit of seed, right? But if we want to touch a lot of lives, and we really care about our community, and the Edge Church is a church for everyone, then we have to sow a lot of seed. And the Bible says that by sowing much seed, we'll have a greater harvest. So what we need to do is not be conservative with the seed. We need to take the seed and be spreading it all over the place. In fact, I remember before we even had our first service that we had a number of block parties. And our block parties was a seed sowing event. We were meeting people. And I remember before we even had our grand opening service, over 2,000 people attended our block parties this last spring and summer. I personally shook hands with over 1,000 people. I mean, I felt like I was running for political office. I mean, it was crazy, you know? I was meeting all these people. It was awesome. It was great. And then we sowed seed. We invited people to what we're doing. Guess what? A lot of those people have come to our church. Some of those people have committed their lives to the Lord. If we would have just done a few events, we would have had a smaller harvest. We've had a little bit bigger harvest because we've done more. And you know what? The law of sowing and reaping is true in every area of life. It's true in your marriage. What you sow is what you'll reap. It's true in business. You know, many of us are in sales. And you know in sales that if you sow a little bit, you're going to reap a little bit. If you sow a lot, you're going to reap more. So you know you got to make a certain number of phone calls and a certain number of presentations and you got to talk to a certain number of people. And if you do that, then you're going to have a greater harvest. If you just do a little bit, you're going to have a smaller harvest. The same is true spiritually. So we don't want to be conservative with the life-changing message of Jesus Christ. Now, listen, the gospel is way more important than any area of our lives. It's the Lord. So we want to take the seed of the gospel. We want to spread it out. How are we going to do that? We're going to create new churches. We're going to add different services. We're going to expand our ministries because we care about this community. So subtracting limitations, it's changing our thinking. It's not thinking the way we used to think and thinking in a new way, in a new light. Now, one of the other limitations that we have is a lack of faith. And that's a big one. That's one of those big limitations. We think, man, like, could we really do that? Could we really have two services at our church? That seems like a big deal, in a sense. And sometimes we think, golly, could God do that? Guys, I got to tell you, the whole history of our church has been taking bold steps of faith. Bold steps of faith. We literally had about 20 to 25 people in our living room in a Bible study by the time that we had our grand opening service here at the school. That was crazy. Were we ready? Of course not. You know, I mean, there's no way. We didn't have enough people to even hardly set our stuff up or take care of the kids or whatever. But we took a bold step in faith and we figured it out. And guess what? We had 170 people that showed up at our grand opening service. Not bad. If we wouldn't have taken a bold step of faith, we'd still have 25 people meeting in my living room. It's true. We took a bold step of faith starting our student ministry. In fact, we didn't know for sure that we were going to have any teenagers come a few weeks ago. And we had our first Bible study for teenagers. We had 12 kids show up. We had three families come the very first week that said, we came specifically because you had a student program and we care about where our teenagers are, and so we wanted to come to the Edge Church. Had we not taken that bold step, those families would not have come to our church. So we did it in faith. And that's why Hebrews 11 says this, now without faith it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and he rewards those who diligently search for him. Our church has been started with bold acts of faith, and guess what? We're not going to stop. We're going to keep moving forward with bold acts of faith. And if it's not a little scary, and if it's not a little bit, if we're not a little nervous at times, then we're probably not moving in faith like God wants us to move. And sometimes people say, well, you know, I want to be in a church that everything's predictable and everything's the same. And, you know, I know exactly what's going to happen and all the service times never change. And nobody ever asked me to do anything. And you know what? If we have a church like that, we will reap a minimal harvest. But listen, when we continue to take bold steps of faith, that's the kind of faith that God blesses. Our offering, our reach out offering that we took up, a bold step of faith. We hardly took in a dollar in the whole month of November. You know, people were still, our church is only 2 or 3 months old. We announced this goal that we're going to have this reach out offering. People looked at me like, Ryan, what is that? You know, I mean, everybody was brand new to our church. And then all of a sudden, people started feeling ownership and they started getting more excited about it. All of a sudden, December, some more money came in. And then January, we had a great result. If we would have said, no, we don't want to try and raise that extra money to do some extra ministry, let's don't take a chance, let's play it safe, then we wouldn't have the results of the reach out offering. So everything in our church that we have done has been bold acts of faith, and faith is what God blesses. So, you know, unbelief, indifference can be another thing we have to subtract. You know, I don't really care about people, you know. I got a comfortable little church, a place where I sit the same place every Sunday, and, you know, I've got my friends, and sometimes we can just kind of say to the world, we don't care about you guys. Sometimes we can just be indifferent. Laziness, you know, so that's a huge part. Well, I don't want to show up a few minutes early. You know, I don't. It's cold outside. I want to snuggle up under the covers. You know, I don't want to be there to help set something up or to greet people or to go to a meeting or something like that. You know, and sometimes we look at it and we think about ourselves more than we do about the kingdom of God. And so, what we're about at the Edge Church is about doing the math and about subtracting the limitations that are before us so that we can do bold and great things for God. And I don't know about you, but I'm just getting excited about this. I mean, I think the next 2 months are going to be some of the most exciting days of our church. And as we get to that April 4th day, we're going to have a packed house and two services. And then we're going to keep that momentum going all the way to the summer. And just more and more lives are going to be changed. And marriages are going to be saved. And people are going to come to faith. And we're going to look around and go, man, that was cool. That was good. And I tell you what, another neat thing is that we get to be a part of what God is doing right here. You know, how cool is that to be here from ground zero, from the beginning, right? And we can look back and go, you know what? I remember that Sunday when it snowed and we have 5 people at church, you know? And I remember that time when we didn't have enough people to load the trailer, you know, and I was trying to figure out how to put speaker wires into the cabinets, you know? And I remember what it was like when we had our kids' ministry and we had so many kids we had to put them in the hallway. You know, we're going to look back on that and go, man, that was so cool. That was so great. We were just taking bold steps of faith. We were just doing everything that we could do to reach people, and lives were being changed, and I got to be a small part of that. And it's going to be exciting. So I want to welcome you today to the Ultimate Edge and to an exciting journey over the next few months as we gear up to take the next bold step. As we're adding to the kingdom, we're winning more people to the Lord, we're multiplying our worship services, we're subtracting limitations, human perspectives, doubts, unbelief. We're getting rid of that. And we are dividing more people into ministries. That's what the Ultimate Edge is all about. So I want to welcome you to that today. Let's just give the Lord a round of applause today. We're excited about taking this next step. And if you'd like to sign up to serve in a ministry, you can do so on your connection card. Maybe today you'd say, man, I've been coming for a few weeks. I need to get in the game. I need to be a part of something. Great. You can do that on your card. You can wrap that up. We'll take those up in just a minute. You can put those in the offering plate momentarily. And listen, thank you for your generosity and for your tithes and offerings you're giving today. It's making a huge difference, and it's changing lives, as we've been talking about today. So thank you for that. Hey, I think it'd be appropriate just to end this message this morning before our band comes up with a word of prayer. and just to ask God to speak to us and direct us. So let's do that as we prepare for our offering. God, we give you thanks. We give you praise. We are so excited to be a part of what you're doing here, Lord. And we pray that you would use our talents. We pray you'd use our gifts. And Lord, even when we don't feel talented, and even when we don't feel gifted, I pray you'd use us, even in spite of ourselves, to do great things to advance your kingdom and the message of the gospel. We thank you that, Lord, you have given us this awesome opportunity to be a part of a brand new church start that's reaching the community and just seeing lives changed. Thank you for that. Now, Lord, just prepare us and use us to reach people with the good news today. And we pray this all in Christ's name. Amen.